Why is all this necessary? Why should women dress modestly? Isn't it the role of men to control themselves around women? Hello there, peace be on you. My name is Anne-Marie. Welcome to Rational Religion. It's a common criticism of religion that it oppresses women and strengthens existing power structures. Islam is often the main subject of these critiques, and since we here at Rational Religion are Muslims, I thought I'd clear a few things up. Let's take a look at the hijab, such a controversial topic nowadays. Let's shine a light on this bugbear of the Western world. So what is the hijab? The word is commonly used to represent the cloth a Muslim woman covers her hair with. The word hijab, however, is not the term used in the Quran. The word used in chapter 24 is in fact khimar, where it instructs women to draw their head coverings across their chests. The word khimar comes from the root word kha mim ra, which conveys the meaning of a covering. Other words that derive from this root word draws from this basic meaning. For example, while khimar means head covering, khamar means alcohol because it's known to obscure or veil one's mental faculties. It's all about covering the head, literally or metaphorically. Some people believe that the Quran makes no mention of the head covering, but they should consider this point. In pre-Islamic Arabia, the khimar would be wrapped around the head and its long piece left to drape down the back. The Quran here instructs women to wrap this head covering in the same way, but to drape that long piece to cover their neck and chest. How women fulfill that instruction is how you get the different clothing styles across the Muslim world. If you take that long piece to the front, you get the burqa, since it covers the face before it reaches the chest. For women who drape the cloth with the upper edge leaving only the eyes, you get the niqab. And many Muslim women fulfill the instruction as the Prophet himself, peace be upon him, directed at the basic level, when he said that a woman's face and hands need not be covered. The question is, why is all this necessary? Why should women dress modestly? Isn't it the role of men to control themselves around women? The answer actually is yes. Modesty has been highlighted for both men and women in the Quran, and the Quran actually addresses men first, telling them to lower their gaze around women and to check their sexual impulses. So if that's what the Quran teaches, why do women need to dress modestly? Islam gives a variety of reasons, the most controversial of which is as a means to reduce unwanted sexual advances. Though it would be wonderful to live in a utopia where no one drives badly and no one steals, we recognize that's not the world we live in, and so we wear seatbelts and take out insurance. Islam is practical in its advice to women, and so gives guidance for the real world and not an imaginary one. The hijab is a bit like a seatbelt. Will it prevent you from always being harmed by the reckless actions of others? No, but it can decrease that risk. In the same way, Islam teaches that women should take their safety into their own hands rather than relying on the goodness of men. A well-known study conducted by Princeton psychologist Susan Fiske found that men seeing women dressed in bikinis activated the part of their brain associated with tools, or quote, things you manipulate with your hands, as compared to seeing images of fully dressed women. As famous actress Jessica Rae puts it, modesty isn't about covering up our bodies because they're bad. Modesty isn't about hiding ourselves. It's about revealing our dignity. Now let's be clear, modestly dressed women get harassed too. The primary way to eliminate sexual harassment of women is to reform men's behaviour. An interesting account from the Prophet Muhammad's life, peace be upon him, illustrates this point. A beautiful woman approached the Prophet for some advice on some personal matters. A companion of the Prophet began to stare at her because of her beauty. On noticing this, the Prophet reached his hand backwards and turned the face of his companion away so that he would no longer stare at her. He didn't criticize her appearance or advise her to behave any differently. It was in fact the behavior of his companion that he tried to change. The failure to inculcate modesty in society goes further than issues of sexual harassment. A recent study showed that eating disorders, anxiety, and other mental health disorders are rife among women and particularly among young girls. Teenage suicide rates hit a 40-year high in 2015 and is the second leading cause of death in the developed world between the ages of 15 and 24. More than 17% of high school students in the US seriously considered killing themselves in 2017. Many have linked these trends to a culture in which women and young girls are bombarded with images pushing them to aspire to unrealistic and unnatural body shapes. Islam says no to this destructive agenda. It supports women's liberation because it de-emphasizes physical beauty and thereby re-emphasizes personal qualities. Otherwise, it's very easy to be judged and valued according to your looks, which just becomes a genetic lottery. By helping to lessen the emphasis on physical beauty, modest dress says to society that women should be judged according to what's actually important: their personality, intellect, talents, and making a difference in the world. Islam teaches us to focus on developing a relationship with the divine, with our creator, not wallowing in temporary and pointless endeavors that are ultimately psychologically and socially damaging. There is so much more to a woman's choice to dressing modestly than just trying to avoid unwanted sexual advances. It brings a much deeper meaning to your relationship with the divine and commitment to something much greater than yourself and the temporary material world. My dedication is to God and not to the whims of culture and the fashion industry. That's it for today. Don't forget to subscribe for more content. Thanks for watching. Peace be on you.
Thumbs up and subscribe. She deserves it.
I'm sorry.
Sorry. Yeah. Okay.
Why is all this necessary?
Okay.
Assalamualaikum everyone, my name is Miska Jahan, and in today's video we're going to be talking about a touchy subject, a question that we get asked all the time as hijabis, which is, why do you wear the hijab? So I've been asked this question quite a few times. Every time I go to work, there's always like one person per day that asks me why I wear the hijab, and sometimes it's a little bit difficult to answer. So I try to give my explanation and the other person doesn't really understand, which is okay, because it's not something that everyone's gonna agree with, you know? But sometimes I feel like the message doesn't translate as well as I want it to, so I had to come up with a way to explain myself in a way that would be easy to understand and, I don't know, would just translate better, if that makes sense. So I'm creating this video to kind of give you guys an idea of something that you can use, and I really hope that it's gonna be helpful whenever you go about your life and someone asks you and stops to ask you this question. Personally, in my experience, it's kind of hard to answer why you wear the hijab to someone who doesn't really follow a religion, someone who has like a more resentful feeling towards religion. So yeah, it's difficult to explain it to those people because they don't have a positive view on religion and they don't really understand anything about like faith and like God and stuff like that. So yeah, but yeah, I feel like this explanation gives it in a more straightforward way, so I'm gonna get to that right now. So when someone asks me this question, the answer that I give them is the triangle. So yeah, you're probably asking, what is this triangle? So the triangle is that we are all made up of this triangle, which is the mind, the body, and the spirit, correct? These three components make up the physical world and this other world that we don't actually see, feel, hear, or touch. It's just another world that we are a part of, but we don't really, we can't see it, obviously. So yes, the body is a 3D thing, it's a real thing, it's a physical object, right? And the mind is kind of the cross between the body and the spirit, correct? And your spirit is something that cannot be captured. It's something that is part of the other world, and the mind is kind of something that kind of connects these two, if you kind of think about it like that. So whenever I explain this triangle, I also mention to the person, would you immediately reveal your mind to someone? If someone asks you a question about what you thought about the election, maybe you'd come up with a few answers. However, there's always going to be something that you keep to yourself. If I ask you, how is your wife doing? How is your marriage doing? You're not going to immediately tell me about all the problems that you're having, right? You're going to probably respond with like a more simple answer, saying like, oh, it's doing pretty well, or yeah, it's not doing so well. But you don't really go into detail about it unless you feel like that person will understand you and deserves that type of answer. So that's kind of a great way to explain it. So next, I just want to talk about the spirit. You do not immediately reveal your spirit to someone. When you meet someone new, you're not going to automatically show all your true colors. This is something that you save for the people you love. Yeah, it just makes sense to not immediately reveal yourself. So in the end, when it comes to the body and when it comes to why we cover ourselves, why we dress modestly, why we wear the headscarf, to me it makes sense to say that I'm not going to immediately reveal my body. So I hope that sums up what I'm trying to say. Hopefully that this explanation is going to be really useful for those of you who have to answer this question on a regular basis. As someone who lives in like a non-Muslim country, this is something that I experience quite a bit, and I feel like this triangle explanation really helps, and I hope it helps you guys just as much as it helps me. Make sure to leave a comment down below if you feel like you can add to the conversation. Make sure to share this video if you feel like it's going to benefit anybody, or if you want someone to see this video. Make sure to like this video as well and subscribe if you haven't already. I thank you guys in advance. Thank you guys so much for watching, and I will see you guys next time. Bye!
Alright. As you guessed, today our subject of discussion is going to be about the stereotypes, defending Islam against the stereotypes, which is hijab is a form of oppression. Hijab is a form of oppression. Okay. And Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Dr. Ali Zaini from the Weekend Islamic School, for those of you who came in late. And today's subject is defending Islam against the stereotypes, hijab issue. And the first thing we need to understand, what made people say that Islam has double standards regarding dealing with men and women in the hijab issues? Because people think that men have no rules while women have many rules, or why women have a strict dress code but men don't. Women have to wear hijab but men don't. And all of these excuses or all of these arguments that come out. And I once, when I was teaching at University of Evansville, a girl said, it's not fair that we should be equal. If we have to wear hijab, we both have to wear hijab. Men wear hijab and women wear hijab. They has to be the same. So my answer was simple. What if we go jogging on the jogging and I don't wear my shirt at all, and you don't wear your shirt, neither your shirt nor the top part. If I don't cover the top part of my body, and you don't cover the top part of your body, including the breast area, would it be perceived the same way? If I'm not covering my breast, it doesn't matter because I'm a man. But if she's not covering it, then that's a problem. Everybody would be perceiving this thing as not something that's not a positive thing. It's just going to be different. Okay. And also will make the woman that's going jogging without wearing, with a short, without wearing the top part, it will make her subject to harassment, nasty looks, nasty comments, and things that are not favorable. And why people think that hijab is a form of oppression, because they think that women are forced to wear hijab. And like the videos you saw, that those women and girls were not forced to wear hijab. In United States here, nobody forces anybody to wear hijab, and those girls didn't, and women didn't, were not forced to wear the hijab. They chose to wear the hijab. And there was an issue about Taliban. When Taliban was ruling Afghanistan, they were saying, people were saying that they were forcing women to wear hijab. However, after the fall of Taliban, the same women, not hijab, I'm sorry, niqab, which is covering the face, Okay, so they say that Taliban forced women to cover their face and wear the niqab, not the hijab, the niqab, which is the covering the face. And the, after Taliban fell and Afghanistan was ruled by the one that was appointed by the United States, I forgot what his name, Hamid Karzai or something like that. The women that used to wear niqab before continued wearing niqab even after the fall of Taliban. And until today, women are still wearing niqab, even though the secular, so quote unquote, secular government over there is not forcing them. The government's not forcing them anymore, yet they are still wearing it. And the answer was simple, because that's what they think God expecting of them. This is what believe that God expecting them to wear the hijab, and that's why they are wearing it. Nobody's forcing them. They are believing that this is God's expectation. Okay. Now, question that brings in, by the way, briefly, covering the face is optional. It's not, niqab is not fard. It's not an obligation. It's an optional thing for the ones who want to do it. Okay. And I wouldn't, for women and girls who live in the United States, I don't recommend covering their face. I would actually talk to them not to do it, because it's not necessary, and it gives it enhances a stereotype about Islam. Maybe in the Muslim country, yeah, no problems at all. It's very normal to see that niqab thing, but not in the United States. United States, we stick with the hijab, not with the niqab. Why hijab? Hijab is fard. Many people say hijab is not mentioned in the Quran. Hijab is an Arabian culture. Hijab is etc., etc. And indeed, the answer is no. The Quran is clear about the issue of hijab. The first ayah shows, orders the hijab and the people that you don't have to wear hijab when they are present.
And tell the believing women to lower their gaze and be modest, and to display of their adornment only that which is apparent, and to draw their veils over their bosoms, and not to reveal their adornment save to their own husbands, one, or fathers, two, or husbands' fathers, three, or their sons, four, or their husbands' sons, five, or their brothers, six, or their brothers' sons, seven, or sisters' sons, eight, or their women, or nine, their slaves, ten, or male attendants who lack vigor, or children who know not of women's nakedness, 20. And let them not stamp their feet so as to reveal what they hide of their adornment, and turn unto Allah together, O believers, in order that ye may succeed.
See, there are 12 kind of people that you don't have to wear hijab in front of, listed in the ayah. And if we go by different translation,
and tell the believing women that they must lower their gazes and guard their private parts, and must not expose their adornment, except that which appears thereof, and must wrap their bosoms with their shawls, and must not expose their adornment, except to their husbands or their fathers or the fathers of their husbands, or to their sons or the sons of their husbands, or to their brothers or the sons of their brothers or the sons of their sisters, or to their women, or to those owned by their right hands, or male attendants having no sexual urge, or to the children who are not yet conscious of the shames of women. And let them not stamp their feet in a way that the adornment they conceal is known. And repent to Allah.
So that's the first ayah. And then this ayah is using the word khimar. Khimar. Khumurihinna. This word called khumurihinna. Khimar in the Arabic language means, it's a well, perfectly understandable Arabic language that means the head cover. So Allah saying, I want a head cover that's long to cover the chest area. So it's long enough to cover the chest area. And that's why the people, just like we saw in the video, the people
Sorry, why should The word is a controversial topic nowadays. Let's shine a light on this bugbear of the Western world. A Muslim war is infest of a covering. For example, some people believe covering construction is how you get the different clothing styles across the Muslim world. In pre-Islamic Arabia, the khimar would be wrapped around the head and its long...
See? That's the pre-Islamic Arabia.
Pre-Islamic Arabia, the khimar would be wrapped...
So this is the khimar that will be in the pre-Islamic Arabia. It will cover the head, but the chest is open. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revered the verse. This is the khimar. This is a khimar. But the chest is open. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah saying... They should extend their khimar to cover the chest. Extend the khimar to cover the chest. I don't know how well is the translation here. Lower their gazes and guard, except it must wrap their bosoms with their shawls. Let me see if there's a better translation. Yes, here is a better translation. And they shall draw their scarves over their bosoms, which is the breast area here, the chest area, just like we saw. So this is what Islam came to fix. So there was a hijab, khimar, but Allah wanted the khimar to extend and to cover this chest area. That's this ayah. And then the second evidence that hijab is also mentioned in the Quran is the... ayah, this ayah 2460 says that it gives an exception. It says who shouldn't be wearing the, who doesn't have to wear the hijab, who is exempted from wearing the hijab. Let's see who is exempted from wearing the hijab.
As for women past childbearing who have no hope of marriage, it is no sin for them if they discard their outer clothing in such a way as not to show adornment. But to refrain is better for them. Allah is here.
So Allah said the old women, 80s, 70s, 90s, beyond, you know, the age of marriage, okay? And they don't have to wear the hijab, okay? But look, for these old women, just imagine 9 years old, Allah saying it's better to keep the hijab. Just imagine Allah saying for 80 and 90 years, you don't have to, but it's better for 80 and 90 and 70 years old. You know, I'm just wondering about the sisters who are in their 20s and 10s and they think that they shouldn't be wearing hijab. Let's see if there is, yes, it is best for them to be modest. That's a translation. Okay, Dr. Mohsin translation is. Okay, but to refrain, i.e. not to discard the outer garment, is better for them. Allah is saying it's better for a woman who's 90, 80, 100 years, 70 years, 60 years. They are exempted, but it's better for them not to. So just, what do you think about the young women then? And this one, perfectly understandable Arabic language, the word khimar is the head cover. And Allah wanted it to extend to cover the chest area. And about the last one here is about the jilbab. Jilbab is the dress itself, the long dress. It's a perfectly understandable Arabic language that shows that a dress. Allah wanted this dress to be long enough to cover the entire bottom part.
O Prophet, tell thy wives and thy daughters and the women of the believers to draw their cloaks, clothes around them when they go abroad. That will be better, so that they may be recognized and not annoyed.
Okay. Then let's hear this translation.
O Prophet, tell your wives and your daughters and the women of the believers that they should draw down their shawls over them. That will make it more likely that they are recognized, hence not teased and Allah.
And okay. Let's see, Dr. Mohsen translation. Basically, what Allah is saying, I need jilbab. That's long enough. Long jilbab. Jilbab is an obvious. So, I mean, it's a perfectly understandable Arabic language. If I go there and I say I want jilbab. 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 It's well known. It's well known thing. I think I got a site that shows the jilbab. There is the jilbab is, no, not talking about colors now. Hijab is got fancy, hijab, colors. Where's the jilbab thing? Okay, anyway, the jilbab is, that dress, this red dress that goes all the way down, that's called jilbab. And this red dress, Allah is saying, I want a long jilbab. I want a long jilbab. So the ayah is perfectly understandable Arabic language. Khimar is perfectly understandable Arabic language, literally from the Quran. So that explains if hijab is fard or not, just in case somebody's wondering. There's a hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Asma bint Abu Bakr, she came out without wearing hijab after she got her period. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her, Asma, if a woman gets her period, she cannot be seen outside. She cannot be seen outside. She shouldn't be seen outside other than the face and the hands. And he pointed to his face and he pointed to his hand. He said this and this. He said, okay, so now this also proves that niqab is not required. Why? Some Muslims say niqab is required. With all due respect, it's not. I think they are following madhab Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. He was so strict and he said that women should wear niqab. But all the other imams, Abu Hanifa, Shafi'i, Imam Malik, they were, all of these people were not required. They did not require women to wear niqab. They only required the hijab. They said niqab is recommended for the one who has a very beautiful face that might cause a fitna. So it's better for her to do the Muslim's favor, like to do, it's like a favor if she wants to do it. It's favor to herself and favor. And Allah will appreciate this favor, but they don't have to. Okay, and the hadith proves that only hijab is required because face and hands. Also, women in the Hajj cannot cover their face. The Hajj had strict dress code. Covering the face is not part of it. You cannot cover the face. It's not part of it. You cannot. It invalidates your ihram. To be in the state of ihram, which is the state of Hajj, you have not to cover your face. Your face must not be covered. Okay, hijab is also proven by the continuous practice since the day of the Prophet. So the women at the time of the Prophet, the Sahabiyat, taught their daughters, and their daughters taught their daughters, and their daughters taught their daughters, and their daughters taught their daughters, all the way continuous practice until today. It's a form of worship, it's just like prayer. And when you don't wear a niqab, which is not required, just make sure you're not wearing a makeup. Because if you wear a makeup, then niqab is highly recommended because you don't want to show your face with the makeup. The nature of women, just like the first video said, that she has a physical appearance, which is the feminine side, and then the professional side, which is the talent. So the feminine side has to do with the family. It's only to be used with the family. It's to promote the family life. Professional side is to, for her as an intelligent professional who has a professional job to do. that is shouldn't be affected. These two are separate from each other. This is the feminine side and this is the professional side. Okay. The physical appearance cannot be used for business. Islam prohibits this. Islam prohibits the physical appearance from being used to do business, like advertisements that showing women dressed in indecent dress from our standard, or like showing their body, showing their features, their body features, and using it to promote a product. Like for example, I once saw they were advertising a bulldozer, and this with this big sign, a bulldozer, and there was a pretty girl, almost very undressed. You know, like she's dressed like sort of a bikini kind of a dress, and she's beautiful, and she's driving the bulldozer. And then I was asking my friend, what this girl has to do with the bulldozer? This is for construction. I mean, and this is something else. I mean, why do they put together? He said, because there is a message that says that, an implicit message that says that if you buy the bulldozer, you get the girl for free. Sort of, kind of that. I laughed. But this is an example of why not to use the physical appearance in doing business. There was a story that happened with my wife when she first came to the United States. She went to get a job. So she went to a work, kind of a workshop where women, work agents, I think what they called them. Anyway, they interview people and help them get jobs. So she went to one of those places. And then the woman who met her, she said, "Do you want my advice? Why should an employer hire you instead of hiring a man?" Okay. You have excuses. Like you have your days where you have your period. You have your days where, in general, people want to hire men because of whatever reason. This is our culture. And by the way, this is not only my perception. This was a perception of an American girl. Her mom told me that she named her Alex. And she said because Alex could be a name for a boy or couldn't be a name for a girl. So she said the employers will not be able to tell if she's a male or a female by looking at the name Alex. They would think, so she said, her mother said, this will give her a better chance of getting a job. I mean, I was surprised to hear this from the mouth of a white woman living in the United States, but and this is exactly what the worker told my wife. She said, why would he hire you instead of hiring a man who can do the job, who are more likely to do hard work harder than you, and who doesn't have a monthly staff period, and he doesn't get pregnant, and he doesn't want to labor, he doesn't want a nursing vacation or days off or child care, things like that. She told her about many things like that, and she said he will hire you because of your beauty, because of your body, because of your physical appearance. So take off your scarf, get a nice haircut, and wear topless thing shirt and a short tight skirt, and then go for the interview. Otherwise you have no chances. And that was like 30 years ago or so. So maybe hopefully life changed nowadays, but the message you're getting, the message is that. Now my wife's response was very smart. She said that I want my employer to hire me because of my talent, because of my professional abilities. I don't want him to hire me because of my physical appearance, because my physical appearance is none of his business. And this is why I wear the hijab, is to cover my physical appearance, is none of his business. It's when I wear the hijab, I wear the hijab. When you wear the hijab, it looks like this. So when you're wearing the hijab like this, is you're telling the person in front of you, look here, here. Don't look anywhere else. Look here. Look at my brain. Look at my talent. Look, here and here, down there is none of your business. That's a feminine side. That's not part of your, that's none of your business. I'm to hire me, you hire me because of my talent here, because of my talent. This is my focus right here. So that was a good answer, honestly. And I'm proud of her. She gave a very convincing message that they are, that physical appearance or the feminine side shouldn't be used in Islam. I mean, Islam prohibits the use of physical appearance to promote products or commercial stuff. Okay. Now, when commercial use the body of the women, I remember there was this few years ago, there was a woman who was honored and awarded, she was given an award because she was a good journalist. She would be the ones who do news programs on TV, like Larry King and things like that. So she was awarded, she was given an award because she has excelled. And she had men working with her. So they got jealous. So basically they said, they went out on television and then they said, she got the award because she is sexy and intelligent. She got extremely offended, very, very offended. And she said, no, I got the award because I am talented. I didn't get the award because I'm sexy. The message that the men were trying to say, they were trying to say, we're better than her, but she had got something that we don't have, which is that she has the feminine side, the physical appearance that we don't have. So that's why they wanted to put her down, and she took it, she was mad, she took it as an insult. She took it as an insult that they are saying that she got the award because she's smart and sexy. She said, no, no, because I'm smart, okay? And also physical appearance can be a source of unethical temptations. People, girls who are not careful on what they wear, they might be promoting unethical temptations. Desires that are not, of course, like our sister here said at the beginning, that Islam requires discipline for both men and women. So it's not only an obligation on women, it's an obligation on men. However, we can't assume that all men are good. It's just like an insurance policy. If it's like a seatbelt, it's like an insurance policy, because you want to make sure that when you are faced by the kind of people that are not observing the restrictions imposed by Islam on men, that you are safe as well. Shaitan uses the physical science, the physical side, the physical appearance, which is the feminine side, to promote the temptations of the temptations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want it to be promoted except on the right side. Also using the physical appearance at work, which is the feminine side at work, causes problems. Like again, my wife, she had this woman who's not pretty at all. She's not beautiful. She wasn't beautiful at all. She's not beautiful at all. And she has a PhD. She's very well talented. She has a PhD, but she's not pretty. And on the other hand, she has this woman who barely got an associate degree from a community college. And she is but she looks beautiful. And the manager is promoting the woman that has, the beautiful woman that has a physical appearance. And the one who has a PhD and very highly talented and good experience, she wasn't promoted like the first one. So that is And she, the one who was not being promoted, she used to tell my wife, "Yeah, he's promoting her because of her chemistry." She calls her physical appearance chemistry, like the. So she was saying, "Oh yeah, he was promoting her because of her chemistry. She got chemistry, and I don't have chemistry, and this is why I'm not being promoted, and she's being promoted." She was upset, and she has the right to be upset. So she used the expression chemistry, which is the sexual desires that happen, or like the sexual attractions from the physical appearance. So she's calling it chemistry. And she said, she gives him chemistry, but she doesn't get chemistry from me. So she gets promoted and I don't. Okay. And this is happens when the physical appearances are not regulated in workplaces. Regarding the protection from adultery, Allah subhanahu, hijab is one of the means for protection from adultery. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the people who commit adultery or fornication, Allah said, do not approach adultery or fornication. Allah did not say, do not do adultery or fabrication. Allah did not say, do not commit adultery or fornication. Allah says, do not approach adultery and fornication. Because there are lines of defense that against adultery, because Allah, He created us and He knows that to fall into haram romance or adultery or fornication cannot be made haram by itself, because it's very difficult to avoid. Where did it go? Here. It's very difficult to avoid. So Allah said, don't approach adultery by making lines of defense. The first line of defense is shyness. The boy and the girl should shy away from doing things like that. Then lowering the gaze. Don't stare at things that will stimulate you. Don't be alone in private area. So a boy and a girl cannot be alone in a place, in a private place, even if he's teaching your Quran. The Prophet ﷺ said, a man and a woman cannot be alone in a private place, even if he's teaching her Quran. We don't want this Quran. We don't want you to teach this Quran in such an environment. So private places are places where a third person is not expected to come in. But library, school, and things like that, of course, these are not private places. No flirting conversations, you know, like, ha, ha, ha. I don't know how to copy those, but there are flirting conversations, and you guys know better than me how these things go. And then hijab. So all these lines of defense will make reaching to adultery very hard. Okay, because you can't, without lines of defense, somebody can be coming to adultery, running. So if we say boys and girls can date, and boys and girls can be alone in a private place, and boys and girls can talk indecently, they can flirt, and then at the very end we say, but you cannot commit adultery? That's a kidding. It's just like somebody running 60 miles an hour to the edge of the cliff, and then right at the edge you say, stop! Of course, there's no way this person can stop. This person will fall into the cliff, because here in Islam, you're running 60 miles per hour. This one slows you to 50. This slows you to 40, 30, 20, 10, 0%. And this is why in Egypt and the Muslim countries, it's not, you don't find the girl giving herself up to a boy like that. Okay. There's an expression here, why buy the cow if you get the milk for free? But anyway, that's beside the point. Adultery is very difficult there, much more difficult there than here. Why? Because you have all these lines of defense built in the society, and it helps staying away from adultery. One of them is the hijab. How do you reply to the one that says, my talent is my look, my physical appearance is my talent? Well, That's a different kind of work that's not acceptable in Islam. The talent of women cannot be beauty. The message communicated by high school that causes suicide in the video that we saw at the beginning, it pushes girls to have an outstanding appearance that is not possible. The video that we saw at the beginning, this video here, I'll have the link in the...
The khimar would be wrapped around... Is the meaning of a covering. Other words that derive from this root word draws from this basic meaning. For example, while khimar means head covering, khimar means alcohol because it's meant to be covered. The question is, why has all this been highlighted for both men and women in the Quran? And the Quran gives a variety of reasons, the most controversial of which is as a means to reduce unwanted sexual advances. Though it would be wonderful to live in a utopia where no one drives badly and no one steals, we recognize that's not the world we live in, and so we wear seatbelts and take out insurance. Islam is practical in its advice to women, and so gives guidance for the real world and not an imaginary one.
The message communicated to high school girls, she mentioned it here.
Reckless actions of others? No, but it can decrease that risk. In the same way, Islam teaches that women should take their safety into their own hands rather than reasons, the most controversial of which is as a means to reduce unwanted sexual...
I'm looking for the statistics about holding that causes suicide in girls because they are being held accountable, not held accountable, being pushed to meet unrealistic expectations.
But it can decrease that risk. In the same way, Islam teaches that women should take their safety into their own hands rather than relying on the goodness of men. A well-known study confirms teenage suicide rates hit a fault that eating disorders, anxiety, the failure to inculcate modesty in society goes further than issues of sexual harassment. A recent study showed that eating disorders, anxiety, and other mental health disorders are rife among women and particularly among young girls. Teenage suicide rates hit a 40-year high in 2015 and is the second leading cause of death in the developed world between the ages of 15 and 24. More than 17% of high school students in the US seriously considered killing themselves in 2017. Many have linked these trends to a culture in which women and young girls are bombarded with images pushing them to aspire to unrealistic and unnatural body shapes. Islam says no to this destructive agenda. It supports women's liberation because it de-emphasizes physical beauty and thereby re-emphasizes personal qualities. Otherwise, it's very easy to be judged and valued according to your looks, which just becomes a genetic lottery. By helping to...
I like the expression genetic lottery. Okay, that's the people who say, oh, my talent is my physical appearance. They are basically playing on this genetic balance. Okay. If there are two girls at the school, or like if you have two girls, one is wearing a short and the other one is wearing a hijab, and you have desire to date, which one would you approach for dating? Would you approach the one that's wearing the short or the one who's wearing the hijab? Okay, so basically when you approach a girl, when a boy is approaching a girl, it could be for two causes, either for ethical stuff or ethical business or unethical business. Ethical business, like help me with the homework. Can I copy this from you? Can you explain to me how to do this problem or whatever? And then unethical business, which let's date, let's go have romance and all of these things. A girl wearing a hijab is being approached. She's sure, she's almost sure that when she's being approached because by a boy because of her, because not because of her physical appearance, not because he's interested in decent business. She's pretty much sure that she is being approached because this boy is interested in ethical business, ethical stuff. But the other one is being approached. She's not sure. You can't be sure whether she's approached for ethical or unethical or both. The one that wearing a hijab is very likely that he's approaching her only for ethical business. But the other one, you don't know. So to make sure that it is the communication is for ethical reasons, hijab is highly, is required. in any of the relationship, in any of the relationship, the consequences are not equally shared by both parties, then it's unfair. If we believe in inequality between men and women, in a liberal relationship, in a liberal sexual relationship outside of the marriage, the loser is the woman. The girl is the loser. If she's aborted, if she gets pregnant, she gets aborted, or she gets deserted, or she gets, or she lands to be a single mother. Okay, she is the one who suffers the consequences. The boy just gets his fun and he walks away. Okay, and there was that video, I wish I could find it and show it to you, that a boy and a girl, they are like two balloons. And the girl is saying to the boy, hey, we have been living together for 10 years now. Can we get married? And then the presenter let go the valve of the balloon that is the man, and then it ran away, away. In other words, what I'm trying to say is that why buy the cow if you can get the milk for free? If you can get the pleasure for free, then why do you want to pay money for it? They even advertise it. They say divorce costs a lot of money. Why do you need to get married? Come here and let's have fun. You don't have to be married. Promoting the, they said divorce costs a lot of money. Divorce costs bank corruption. Divorce, and really divorce has a very heavy price to pay. And one divorce can bankrupt a person for life. But what I'm trying to say here is that's what they promote. They say, why do you have to divorce cost so much money? Come and let's have fun without having to be married. Okay. So women are the ones who are taking advantage of. And this is why in Egypt and Muslim countries, no girl will give herself up to a guy like that. No, it's not going to happen. Not only because of the lines of defense, but also because she is not an idiot. She's going to take advantage of her. He's going to get what he wants to do, what he wants to get, and he walks away free. No blame, no horror, no consequences. There was a commercial that I've seen, a boy and a girl running together, romancing. And then the next scene is that she's pregnant. And then when she's pregnant, he walks away from her and he starts dating her friend. So he deserted her, he dumped her, and then he started dating her friend. So that's what happens, because he doesn't want to be a father and he doesn't want to carry the responsibilities of a baby. Then he walks away from her and goes to her friend. And she's stuck. She can get an abortion if she doesn't want to, or she can't get an abortion, then she will end up having a baby. Going through 9 months of pregnancy and delivering a baby is a lot of pain and a lot of efforts and a lot of energy. And raising that baby, taking care of the baby, it takes two people, two adults, to take care of a baby, not one. One can do the job of both, two with both. So in these kind of relationship, the girls and the women are the losers all the time. Islam, Allah is beautifully declaring a universal message of equality between men and women. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Imran, for example, it's just a symbol of the things that you see in Islam.
Our Lord, lo, we have heard a crier calling unto faith. Believe ye in. And their Lord hath heard them, and he saith, lo, I suffer not the work of any worker, male or female, to be lost. Ye proceed one from another.
So he said, I reward the good deeds equally from male or female, and you are one, you are from each other. The man is a child of a woman, and the woman is a child of a man. You are from each other. You are from one another. بعضكم من بعض. You are from each one, from each other. You are each other's products, sort of. Eve, the name Eve is short of evil, where they consider the Christian tradition, the old Christian traditions consider Eve to be evil. And the name Eve comes from that. In Islam, Eve is not called, the name for Eve, Hawa. Hawa, Ha, Waw, Alif, Hamza, Hawa. And the reason she was called Hawa, because she was created from a hay, because Adam was a living being, and she was created from his side. From his side, she was created, so that she was created from a hay, so her name is Hawa. And that's a beautiful name, Hawa. But Eve is not a good, this negative connotation associated with it. For us, our mothers, our women are our mothers, our sisters, our daughters, and those are not Eves. They are not evils, no. They are our mothers, our daughters, and our sisters, our spouses. And indeed, Islam delivers a message of equality in all of its teaching, that we are, Allah is the one who selected the gender. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected the gender for obvious reasons. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at us equally, equally, without discrimination of gender. And if you have any questions, please let me know.